Okay. All right. My phone vibrated while I was that song was there, and I checked the message. Mark Rumfeld, of course, many of you, all of you probably know Mark. He pastors a church down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and there's been a lot of distress down there. And at 11:10, he sent the message that multiple officers have been shot on Airline Highway right next to the Holiday Inn where we stay for the Bible conference, and to remember them in prayer. So it's the unrest continues there and many other places, and we're living in really troubled times, folks, but you know, the anchor holds, and that's the good thing, is we can put our trust in the Lord, and we know that beyond this life, there's going to be a time when there's going to be peace finally, and we're not going to have peace on earth because, as Paul said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So a lot going on, but remember these folks in prayer. Of course, it was just a year ago yesterday that we had the shootings here in Chattanooga, and of course that was a terrible time for us, and regardless of what side people fall out on, it's a tragedy any time that lives are lost. So remember these in prayer. All right, if you would this morning, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, Mark 3, and I'm going to do a message today primarily based on some information that I've been exchanging with a person via email. They've been watching some of our YouTube videos, and they've had a lot of questions, and it's been a good exchange. This person is having a really difficult time understanding the things that we believe about right division, and so I keep answering questions, and I was very thankful that the last response I got for him was, "Thank you for your patience," which is always a good thing when you're trying to exchange information. But one of the things that he had real problem with is the thing about demon possession, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about that today in the religious world, and so I wanted to do a message about that, and I probably won't cover everything that needs to be covered in 45 minutes, but I want to talk to you about some things in regard to demon possession and what the Bible has to say about it, and really how that rightly dividing the word of truth as it is with all doctrinal matters is really the answer to understanding about demon possession. First, let me start off by saying the word demon is not in the Bible. It's our word for what we read in the Bible is usually called an unclean spirit. But I'll probably refer to it as demon because that's what the modern vernacular is. I've shared with you before about a man that years ago called me on the telephone one morning. He'd been attending church here sporadically over a period of time, and maybe 6 months. And he called me and asked me if I could come to his house. And I asked him what was the problem, and he said, well, there was a woman there that was demon-possessed, and he wanted me to come over and pray over and so forth. And so I asked him, I said, well, what makes you think she's demon-possessed? And he said, well, she's out of her mind. She's having seizure-type activities, and I know it's a demonic spirit because of things I've talked to her about before. And I told him, I said, if that is what is happening with her, you need to get her to a medical, to the emergency room. You need to get her to a doctor. I said, because my prayer would do no more than your prayer would. I don't, you know, that's something I was discussing with somebody this week. People have the idea that somehow the preacher's prayer has more power than an individual prayer. And I've always found that kind of interesting because the Bible says concerning us that we all can go before the throne of grace, boldly before the throne of grace. So God doesn't hear my prayer any more than he would hear your prayer, and there's no more power in my prayer than there is in your prayer. But it's a common thing for people to want the preacher to pray over those that are sick and that kind of thing. Well, I told him to take the girl to the doctor. And he didn't do so. And about a week later, I got a message from him saying the young lady had had another episode of demon possession and had passed away, had died. And he was infuriated with me and basically said, if I ever call you again, you better come, and that kind of thing. Well, I never heard from him again after that. He moved from here to Texas and hooked up with Brother Jerry Lockhart instead of me, thank God. And matter of fact, Jerry called me and asked me if I recommended him to his church. I said, no, I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, there's a lot of confusion about this. And the confusion reigns because there is so much said, particularly in the Gospels, about unclean spirits. Let's begin reading in Mark chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself, But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and there about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. So the first thing we see about these unclean spirits is that they have knowledge. They understood that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. If you look over in verse 22, the Bible says, And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? In other words, they were accusing him of being of Satan and of casting out demons by the power of Satan. That'd be kind of useless, wouldn't it? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. If you look over in Mark chapter 4, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 23, he says, If any man, I'm sorry, make it Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 7, And he called unto the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerant for Sodom and Gomorrah than in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. So, as I said, there's an awful lot of references in the Gospels about the unclean spirits. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're familiar with the passage there, where Jesus Christ is tempted. But in Matthew 4, verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, I think that verse is very important beyond just what we many times look at there, because the gospel of the kingdom was accompanied by certain sign gifts. In this particular case, he said the gospel, he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So, if we read the verses, and there are several more we're going to turn to, but it appears that the casting out of unclean spirits, the casting out of demons, if you will, was primarily associated in the Bible with the gospel kingdom, or with the coming kingdom. After all, Jesus Christ manifested himself to Israel. Jesus Christ was baptized that he might be manifest to Israel. And Jesus Christ worked many miracles, like the verse we read. There were people that tried to just touch the hem of his garment. Imagine today that there was legitimately an individual that showed up on the scene that could heal people. You think he'd be thronged with people that had cancer and whatever, heart disease or whatever it might be? Well, certainly they would. These people saw a physical benefit of what Christ was doing, and it brought them to him, and yet he told them on several occasions not to tell who he was. Why? Because he knew that he must go and die, and the kingdom was not going to be established at this present time, but it was going to be offered. As a matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 10, when he sends forth the 12, in Matthew 10 verse 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now notice the next command: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So we see then that the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, both by Christ and the 12, was accompanied by miraculous signs. These sign gifts, things that you could visibly see and experience, such as the heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now, because of these scriptures, people that do not rightly divide the word of truth believe that today there are those that have the same power that the disciples had and that Christ had. And thus they believe that there is a ministry of casting out devils. It's been called exorcism. And many have supposedly been done by Catholic priests. And I don't want to make anybody mad. Well, I don't really care. That'd be sort of like the devil casting out the devil. Because in most instances, Catholic priests are lost. They believe in a work salvation and so forth. So that would not really make any sense. And yet, there's been movies about it. There's been films about it. As a matter of fact, there was a documentary presented maybe 10 years ago that I watched. I wish I had it on tape. But in every instance of a person undergoing an exorcism that this particular doctor had studied, he found that there was a medical situation or a mental situation that was associated with those cases. And I believe that to be the case. Well, now, if there was demon possession in the day of Christ, why would there not be demon possession today? That's the question that comes up with people. And I think there's a legitimate answer for that. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth as a physical, literal man, the man Christ Jesus. He taught the disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." They were looking for the kingdom to come and be established upon the earth. Deuteronomy talks about the days of heaven on earth. So Israel was looking for a king to come. Read Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. And they were expecting Christ to deliver them from their enemies and establish a kingdom and rule and reign upon this earth, much like the 1,000-year reign will be when Christ returns. Because Christ was dealing with people in a physical nature, in a physical sense, such as healing and casting out unclean spirits and raising the dead, all of these things were signs that he was who he said he was. And these things were associated with the kingdom. And during the kingdom, what we're going to see in a moment, during the tribulation time, I believe there will be these demonic spirits that will occupy people. After all, the Antichrist is going to be present, and he's going to be possessed by a demonic spirit, the spirit of Satan himself. And he'll roam the earth, and he'll make promises to Israel and so forth. But today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, we're not living in a time of things being physically manifest, but rather spiritually and doctrinally by the Word of God. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 16. I'll tell you what, before we go there, while we're in Matthew, look back in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, got me one of those cough drops there, Doc, thanks. Matthew 7, I'm going to start taking my allergy medicine before I come to church. They make them drugs for a reason. Matthew 7, notice in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now notice, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So that we see that during the life of Christ, during this offering of the kingdom, not only did those of Christ have the ability to cast out demons, but those that did not. Here's some people that said, "We have prophesied in thy name, we've cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works." And he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, look, if you will, over in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So, what we see is that almost every time these signs are mentioned, they're mentioned in association with preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They accompany those that we're preaching this gospel of the kingdom, the offer of a literal physical kingdom upon the earth. What we also see is that this demon possession, it was always manifested by some physical sign. Look back in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew 9, this is where people get the idea today that they see things going on. They say, well, this person must be demon possessed. I had an individual one time that wrote me an email, and he told me that he had awakened during the night and that there were demons in the bedroom with him. And I said, well, what did they look like? And he said, well, they looked like little doughboys sitting up on the door facings. I can't find that in Scripture. I couldn't imagine, demons being manifest like the Pillsbury Doughboy. And so I mentioned that a few weeks later in a message, and I mentioned not the man's name, but I said this nut wrote me this email. Well, I forgot that he was getting the messages, and so he wrote me and said, I don't appreciate you calling me a nut. And I wrote back, well, actually, call me. Said, I don't appreciate you calling me a nut. I said, well, I didn't use your name, so nobody knew who I was talking about. He said, yeah, but I did. I said, well, I guess at least you know what my position is about what you believe about those things. Come to find out, he had been doing a lot of drugs. And it was about that same time that these things began to be manifest to him. In Matthew chapter 9, notice in verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. So there was a manifestation, a literal physical manifestation. Man couldn't speak, devils cast out, he could speak. Look in chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12, verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? You see, again, proof positive from the Scriptures that these physical manifestations were to point to people, or point people to the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Look in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, in Luke 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. And he healed and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. You know, the ministry of Christ healing is not at all like Benny Hinn or any of these others that you see on TV. When Christ healed, he healed them all. That's why people sought to come to him. And it was a manifestation, a miraculous manifestation, that he was the Son of God. And yet, even in all that, the people rejected him. Now, as we read a moment ago, these unclean spirits, they know who Jesus Christ, they knew who Jesus Christ was. They had a supernatural ability to know him. James said the devils believe in God. He said, you do well, you believe in God, you do well. The devils believe in God. And so they believed that they knew who Jesus Christ was. And they were manifest. In other words, how were they manifested? Well, Look over in John chapter 8. Interesting verse over there. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning," all the way back in the garden, "and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He said, "You are of your father, the devil." How did he know that? Because of what came out of their mouth. Because of what they said. And we're going to see an instance in a moment where the Apostle Paul understood the demonic spirit in a woman, even though what's recorded in the Scripture that she said was absolutely true. But before we do that, I want you to notice that over in Revelation chapter 12. You see, before I read here, let me just explain. I believe that during the physical earthly ministry of Christ, the devil was allowed to operate in the same means that Jesus Christ was. That is, by things that could be seen and experienced. After all, the devil has always been a counterfeit of what God is doing. So Jesus Christ had the ministry that he received of God the Father. And he's carrying out that ministry. In that ministry, there's a manifestation of miracles, signs, and wonders. The devil had ministers as well. You're of your father the devil. Paul or Christ talking to the Pharisees. They had the power to do the same thing that Christ had, as we read in Matthew chapter 7. Where he said, "I never knew you." What we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, look there in verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." In other words, it appears to me that during the tribulation, there's going to be a casting out of devils are demonic spirits from the heavenly places. He said, "The Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So there would be then a physical manifestation of demonic spirits, just like there was in the day of Jesus Christ, and that would be during the tribulation after the church is gone. Well then, why is it that they would not be present today? Well, they will be present during the tribulation period, but what's going to happen at the end of that? The Bible says that the devil is going to be chained for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. They would not be present then. Well, are then demonic spirits present today? Yes, they are, but not in a physical manifestation. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Now, I can assure you that there's probably more people that would disagree with this than agree with it. And so, if you're one of those, that's fine with me. It doesn't bother me. There's a lot of things in the Scriptures that are hard to nail down. But and you have to study the thing from really one end to the other. But, and I have a lot of friends. I have grace preacher friends that believe different than I do about this. And they talk about the devil and the spirit of Satan, you know, having control over electronic equipment when things don't go right. Well, I think if he did, nothing would ever go right. I hear people talking about the devil has the power to make people sick. And I think if he did, we'd all be sick all the time. And I never have been able to reconcile that in my mind, how if the devil had the power to do that, why isn't he doing it more freely than he is? Is he withheld from some people and not the others? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 2. And I think we get a real good picture here of how Satan is working in his present dispensation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now notice, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now Paul addresses those Ephesians, most of whom were idol worshipers, and he said, "You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Paul, on the other hand, was a religious zealot, a law-keeping Pharisee, and he said, "We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh." The lust of Paul's flesh was the religion that he was involved in. The lust of the Ephesians' flesh was worshiping in the temple of Diana and maybe many other things. But the point is, all of that was brought about by deception, and the deception came through the mind of individuals by Satan. If you look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not received, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Look over in verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now think about this. How is it today that God is manifesting the truth? Through preaching. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word, be it in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke." God is not manifesting himself today through miracles, signs, and wonders. And those involved in that, by and large, it's a con game. We talked about that when we spent 4 weeks on the gifts of the Spirit. God is manifesting his truth today through the preached word. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So what does Satan do? He has a counterfeit. He has ministers. He has Bibles. And he has men who stand up and proclaim a gospel that is contrary to the gospel given to the Apostle Paul. They preach another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And they corrupt the word of God. Paul said, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God." And the word of God is corrupted. So how is the devil working today? Well, the devil's got people right where he wants them. He believes the devil is manifested by people having seances and building fires and offering animal sacrifices and devil worship and all this kind of stuff. I saw where somebody went to a council meeting or something, had on a black robe and was saying some kind of witchcraft prayer, and everything got all upset. Listen, folks, That person's no more possessed with the devil than any other lost person. Every lost person is walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that disobedience is those that Paul talks about who have not obeyed the gospel. And when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters them and they are sealed unto their redemption. Now, in our last few minutes, I want you to see something, because if you try to tell people this, first thing they're going to do is like with baptism. Well, Paul was baptized. Well, Paul cast out devils. Well, I want us to look at something. Go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. Hold on a second. Well, you probably already left there. But you're going to need 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Acts 16 and 1 Timothy chapter 12. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. In Acts chapter 16, now, I've got too many verses here I need to read. You just hold where you are and let me read a verse to you real quick. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "Now there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Did you hear me read in that verse anywhere casting out demons? No. Go back to Acts chapter 16. Those that were under the commission of Mark chapter 16, he said, "You will have the power to cast out devils." In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, "It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Now, how did Paul know by what she said that she had an unclean spirit? Well, I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit included the discerning of spirits. Now, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 11, "I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended to you, of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Now, there's something you need to keep in mind. That during the book of Acts, as Paul is going to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, from city to city, Paul had all, as he said there in 2 Corinthians 12:12, had all the signs of the apostles. Otherwise, nobody would have accepted him as an apostle. But we know, just like in healing, when we were looking at that, we saw that where Paul had the ability to heal at one time, later it was obvious he did not. He told Timothy, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy 4, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, why in the world didn't Paul just cast out the seducing spirit? Because he no longer had the power to. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Unto the Jew I became as a Jew, as to those that are under the law, under the law. I became all things to all men." So you cannot follow Paul in his acts during the book of Acts, because God was giving him the signs of the apostles in order to authenticate his ministry. And later on we find that those signs had gone away, as Paul said they would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So in my thinking, today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, the devil only has the power to duplicate and counterfeit that which God is doing. In other words, if the devil is still have the power to operate on the basis of miracles, signs, and wonders, then that would indicate to me that the church would have that power, and they do not. What is our ministry? It's to preach the Word. What's Satan's attempt to do? To destroy the Word, to corrupt the Word, to blind the minds of people, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto him. Listen, folks, people today don't understand that the battle is for the mind. Satan wants to get into your head. He wants to get in the heads of people. And he will do anything he can to do that. And he does it through false doctrine, false teaching. Look at all the false religion out there today and how people flock to it and how it grows and magnifies. I mean, the most successful churches upon the face of the earth are those that preach a work salvation. Look at the Mormon church, Jehovah's Witness, on and on it goes. You find a church that's preaching work salvation, and they're going to have a good number of people, because that attracts people that want to do something in their flesh for salvation rather than just trusting in what Christ did. So the devil has the control of many minds. And when Paul said, "In the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," that's exactly how Satan is working today. The seducing spirit, doctrines of devils. And that can be to say, and by the way, he said, they depart from the faith, which means they would have been in the faith. Doesn't necessarily mean they're lost. You see, when Paul talks about the faith, he's talking about the body of truth that was delivered unto him. And people can depart from the faith by this seducing spirit. I heard Brother Jerry mention just recently about an individual he'd been talking to. I guess he mentioned it in Sunday school last Sunday. An individual he'd been talking to. This man had a wonderful testimony of salvation, and Jerry had asked him several times if he believed he could lose his salvation, and the man said, "Absolutely not." And then Jerry saw him about a month later, and they were talking about spiritual things, and the man made mention of people losing their salvation. He said, "Well, I thought you didn't believe that." He said, "Yeah, but I talked to my preacher." Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. There's a reason that Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He said in Ephesians chapter 6, "To put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places." The devil today operates on the basis of false doctrine, and he fills people's minds with it so that their minds are blinded and they will not believe the truth. They can believe, but most will not, because the things that he teaches are things that are far more satisfying to the flesh than just, as Paul said, counting all of that but dung. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid for them. He saved us and sealed us in the day of redemption. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, trust Him. You'll be sealed in the day of redemption. And you can have freedom from this idea that the devil is controlling you. You know, years ago, only those as old as I am or probably older or as old will remember the TV program Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. And you know what? That became the mantra for many people and for many years. You know, every time he did it, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't have to make you do it. You know why? Because your flesh is all he needs. And we yield to the flesh rather than yielding to the Spirit. If you never trusted Jesus Christ, trust Him this morning. He died for your sins, paid for all of them, and be secure in the fact that you are sealed in the day of redemption and the devil has no power over you other than that which you yield to him by not believing the truth. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and fellowship around it. Thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be instructed by the things we've seen in your word today and not be deceived by the false teaching of the religious system today. If there are those listening that's never been saved, I pray today they might trust you, receive the free gift of salvation. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.